The Lindy's Football Report. This is the Lindy's Football Report with Graham Dunn, Michael Butler, and Lynn Scarborough. College football in depth and complete in 30 minutes. The Lindy's Football Report is brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors and U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish.
LSU needs a stop to have a chance. Ole Miss needs a first down to win the game. Chambliss takes the snap. Four-man rush. He's looking to throw. He's got his man wide open right on the far side to the 30, to the 20. He goes down on his backside at the 15.
Aller going to throw. Steps back. Swings it down. It is intercepted. Oregon pick. Ducks win. Ducks win.
Hard. Will go in motion left side as Simpson works under center. Gets the snap. They set up for a screen to the big fella, Proctor. Kate, five. Kate pushing forward, and Kate out of bounds. Dear Lord, at the three. That was not an earthquake. That was Kate Proctor.
Oh, the big fella. 6'6", 359-pound Kate Proctor. The bulldozer making men want to miss. And Alabama's win over Georgia. Ole Miss converting that key fourth down play to sew up the win over LSU and Oregon with the interception to earn the win in Happy Valley. Who says you need touchdowns in your opening package? Well, in this case, you had big games with big plays that didn't include 6 points.
Yes, indeed. Proctor Plow, I've heard that said. That may be what we coin it. I don't want to try to tackle him.
No, sir.
No doubt.
No, sir.
Bama pulled out all the stops playing to win, as did Ole Miss, in the way they did it at the end of their game. Ole Miss, Alabama, big wins. Oregon diddly again to James Franklin. Another big game, another big loss.
Getting old hat, I think, for Coach Franklin. Maybe he can recover. Well, another coach has been given his walking papers. Sam Pittman became the fourth Power Four coach to be fired this season. University of Arkansas made the announcement less than 24 hours after the Razorbacks were pummeled by Notre Dame. Pittman was hired in 2020 and led the team to 32 wins over that span. Best year, 2021. Arkansas went 9-4 and beat Penn State in the Outback Bowl. Frankly, no surprise he was let go, but a few eyebrows were raised when Bobby Petrino was named the interim coach. He was at the school in 2008 through 2011, but was let go due to unacceptable behavior, I think I'll put it that way. So is this a tryout, maybe?
Yes. If he wins, I think they'll keep him. I don't think they expect him to win all seven games. Hunter Yurecek said that. He's not going 7-7, but if he does well, they might keep him. I know that what happened earlier is water under the bridge. And he was the last guy that really won. He won 10, 11 games back-to-back seasons and then had to hit the door. And I'll give some credit to Sam Pittman. The guy did come in when Arkansas was rock bottom, had success. And going back to Yurecek, he admitted the resources haven't been there. They apparently are trying to get the dollars together to make it where the next guy can win at Arkansas. And that's what you got to do this day and age.
That's as big a part as who you have as your coach. Well, it's a limited schedule this week with several teams taking a break. But one game that may be intriguing happens to be in the Big 12, where undefeated Texas Tech takes on undefeated Houston. The Red Raiders continue to climb in the polls up to 11th in the AP. Despite a perfect record, Houston has not received a single vote so far this season. The Cougars rallied from a 14-point deficit to earn an overtime win over Oregon State last week. These former Southwest Conference members haven't met in Houston since 2017. Head coach Willie Fritz is in his second year with the Cougars, and he believes his team is coming along, but a win over Tech would be monumental.
Like I tell these guys every single week, they all count as one. You know, this one that we're playing this week is, as I've mentioned a couple times, extremely talented and, you know, very well coached. And we're gonna have to bring our A game. There's no question about it. And we don't feel like we played as well as we were capable of playing last week. So we're going to need to, you know, be good in all three phases in order to have an opportunity to win this game.
Well, for the third time, Houston is bringing out the baby blues, a la the Houston Oilers uniforms this week, but no word if Earl Campbell will dress out.
I'd love to see him. Willie Fritz, he's won everywhere he's been. He's doing it now in Houston. He came in, they were on a downward trend, but you remember he won 11 and 12 games at Tulane, and now they're starting to win again. Look at Joey McGuire. He's a newcomer in the head coaching profession, but they've had three straight winning seasons under him, and one of these two teams might even win the Big 12 Conference. We look at last year's team. when you look at Lubbock and Texas Tech, all but one starter returns to this team. Where can you see that with the transfer portal?
That doesn't happen. Very rarely does it happen. By the way, Earl Campbell will play touch, Skull Brother. Staying in the Longhorn State, Texas has been on cruise control the last couple of weeks, facing a couple of non-conference teams from their home state. But this week, they go to Florida to face the Gators, who are still trying to figure things out. Florida had a week off before failing in their last three games. Offensively, they've been a mess, sitting at the bottom of the SEC with just 10 touchdowns scored this year, averaging less than 5 yards per play. But Coach Steve Sarkisian isn't buying the idea that the Gators are vulnerable, especially at the Swamp.
Obviously, a very difficult place to play, a place that has been known around the country as one of the more difficult places to play. They've been playing great defensive football all year, and they've got explosive playmakers on the offensive side of the ball. And you know, they've just been off the mark a little bit offensively, but it's not for lack of players, and it's not for lack of scheme. You know, Billy's a great coach. He's going to scheme us up. So we've got to be prepared to go, and we've got to be great on special teams. They've got an elite kicker. They've got an elite punt returner in Brown. And so this is going to take all three phases, you know, playing at a high level. And that starts at the line of scrimmage with the offensive and defensive lines. And then our speed guys need to play fast. And so we've got our work cut out for us that way, but definitely looking forward to the opportunity and looking forward to kicking off SEC play. You know, I was kind of shocked. I was sitting there at the end of the LSU-Ole Miss game, and Ole Miss is 3-0 in conference play already, and we haven't played a game. So we've got a little catch-up to do here, so we got to get going.
This is the only team in the SEC that's yet to play a game, that is Texas, but not sure if that's good or bad, but that's all they have left on their schedule, nothing but SEC teams.
It is surprising they have not played a conference game yet. They've already been on the road with Ohio State, and it was not a good debut for Arch Manning at quarterback.
I don't know how you compare Florida to Ohio State.
I will say there's some similarities because I believe, though Florida has struggled too, and DJ Lagway among them, their defense has been pretty good. So it's going to be a tough challenge going into that environment, regardless of what the record is for Florida right now.
We might as well stay in the state of Texas and take a look at the Aggies of Texas A&M, which held off Auburn last week to stay unbeaten. In its first 4-0 start since 2016, they opened 6-0 under Kevin Sumlin. But Mike Elko had a little fun this week, took out a jab or two at a fellow coach in the SEC regarding the absence of credit for his team's perfect start.
Anybody want to ask a question about, like, us being 4-0 for the first time since 2016, or how did the defense bounce back, or how about you held them to 176 yards on offense and you had 5 sacks and they were 0-for-12 on third down and 0-for-2 on fourth down and you got the return game going again? Like, I don't mean to sound like someone else, but my gosh, will you guys stop being so dreadful and gloomy?
Well, this week the Aggies faced Mississippi State, which took Tennessee to overtime before falling to the Vols at home last week. Should be a good one.
I think so. Brian Kelly, by the way, he was talking about you.
Oh, he was.
Sometimes I think these post-game pressers need to be in front of psychologists and maybe not the media, because they can analyze these coaches for us. And they need some loving, I guess. I'm looking at Texas A&M. Yes, they are undefeated. Favorable SEC slate, maybe. Only 3 ranked teams on their schedule going forward. Not a lot of SEC teams can say that. All of those 3 games, though, are on the road. And Mississippi State, don't sleep on them. They looked pretty good last week and just about pulled it out against a pretty good Tennessee team.
Well, it's been a few weeks since the Florida State Seminoles made a statement with a resounding victory over Alabama. It was in the season opener. The win moved them well into the polls, set up a possible run at a playoff bid. Then came last week and a shocking loss to Virginia. While it didn't necessarily come crashing down, it was a wake-up call that FSU is using this week to prepare for their arch rival Miami. This week, it's the Miami Hurricanes off to a perfect start for their 3rd straight season, as if the Noles need any motivation.
You know, I thought the guys, they played with edge. They did play with desperation to put ourselves back in position. We made some plays, but consistently as a whole, there were times that we allowed whatever factor to slow our play and where it looked different. And but you know, it wasn't from anything, from my belief of want to or desire. But you know, it does come down to, you know, you have to be able to work through all those situations, because you know, when you're on the road, I mean, there's not a whole lot there supporting you. And so if something If something bad happens, it just it ramps up everything around you, and that's where you got to hone in that much more and trust your training, your keys, your fundamentals, all the things that you do throughout the course of the week, so that your full physicality, your full preparation gets to be put on display for what you're there to do.
Well, a series that dates back to 1951, we've had our share of high end moments. It's been some crazy ones at that, wide left, wide right, all of them. But since the game has featured a bit of national prominence, it hasn't been as much here of late. 10 years since both were ranked, 20 years since they were in the top five.
That was the thing when we were coming up, Graham. They were in the poll every year playing for national championships. It seemed like the winner of that game had the inside track. Still, FSU, even with a loss, I think they're still pretty good. And I think you can't give up on them. And they got this game at home on top of that. I think it's Miami's toughest test. I know they already have a win over Notre Dame and Florida. Two good quarterbacks, Thomas Castellanos, Carson Beck as well. And Miami defensive front that's really been getting after it. Castellanos better hope his line protects better this week than they did last week.
I think that's the biggest question of this game, is which offensive line will do the job. Vanderbilt and Alabama face off Saturday in a battle of ranked teams. Yep, you heard me correctly. The two teams have not played against each other while both were in the poll since 1937. Michael, I think you covered that game, didn't you? It's only the second time Vandy will be a part of ESPN's game day, and it will attempt to do something it hasn't done since 1984, and that's win in Tuscaloosa. But the Commodores have a chance to do a lot more with a win over the Tide, who's following suit, like last year, beat Georgia, but they traveled to Nashville as 23-point favorites, only to fall to Diego Pavia in the Doors. A win puts that quarterback solidly in the discussion for the Heisman and makes Vandy a serious contender for the playoff spot. Yeah, I said that too. Chris Lee, who covers the Commodores for Rivals, believes the game will come down to what the defense can do against the Alabama offense.
Ty Simpson has been really, really good. I'm a little concerned for their secondary. They gave up some big plays last week. Now, having said that, Utah State has kind of done that. It's kind of a boom and bust offense, and I think they were top 5 or 10 in the country in plays of like 40 yards or over coming in. So that was a little bit a part of what they were. And frankly, Vanderbilt probably didn't give its A game out of the gate, but still won by 20 points. And by the way, another difference between them this year and last year is, you know, last year they get beat by Georgia State. This year they went by, 48 points. I do wonder how the pass rush element comes into play, because they can be really creative in sending pressure, and they've got 3 or 4 guys that can legitimately get to the quarterback. In a lot of years, they don't have one of those. And so I think, to me, it's cutting down that window of throwing time for Ty Simpson, and when they don't, how well can they cover on the back end?
More about Vanderbilt in a moment, but most agree the Commodores are better than last season. But will they catch Alabama enjoying the spoils of Georgia again like last year?
Many believe because of that they won't, but let's go back 17 years, the last time that the Doors were 5-0. Bobby Johnson was the coach. Went 7-6 that year. That can't happen here.
Johnny Manziel will be there.
Yes.
He knows all about winning in Tuscaloosa.
Buddies with Diego Pavia, and Pavia says, I've watched that tape over and over again. The one when Johnny came to town.
Who knows?
Hey, here's a key. 40 minutes plus in possession time last year. If they can do that against Alabama again this year, they might walk out of there with a W.
I agree. And one more thing, we go back to Nashville and take a look at this Vanderbilt program that at one time was a powerhouse in college football. Most everyone is unfamiliar with the history of Commodore football, which has endured 21 seasons of finishing winless in the SEC, 67 seasons with an overall losing record. That's twice as many as any other team in the league. The program has never been to the SEC championship game, which started in 92. And for that matter, the Commodores have never won an SEC championship. Before the league was established in 1933, many of its members played in the Southern Conference, where Vandy won its only conference titles in 22 and 23, as in 1922 and 23. That was part of the heyday of Vandy football. Between 1906 and 1922, the program was recognized as national champion 6 times under Dan McGinn, who tutored an assistant coach named Wallace Wade, who went on to lead Alabama to their first Rose Bowl in 25 and led the Crimson Tide to 3 national championships. Vanderbilt has had only a handful of All-Americans, but their best may have been Lynn Bomar, known as the Blonde Bear, who would go on to play for the New York Football Giants. Vandy has just 10 bowl berths to its credit, but could make it two straight seasons going to a bowl since they went to the Birmingham Bowl last year. That said, we wonder if Vanderbilt is starting a new era of winning. If so, it's time to stand up and show your gold for the Commodores. For this week's U.S. Farm Raised Catfish Catch of the Week, we go to Happy Valley, where the Oregon Ducks earned an overtime victory over Penn State, 30-24, with this Dante Moore 25-yard touchdown pass to Gary Bryant. The Oregon Sports Network's Jerry Allen has the call.
Way out to the right, Benson goes right. Victorian Moore comes left. And back, and going to throw. Step up away from the rush. Throws it. Got him wide open at the 10. Two-yard line. Touchdown, Gary Bryant Jr. on the first offensive play. And how about Dante Moore escaping the rush?
Remember, for the tailgate tent or the pregame party, U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish is always the winning catch. To find out more, visit uscatfish.com.
This is the Lindy's Football Report.
Lindy's, America's leader in providing great magazines and specialty publications covering the gamut of sports. For daily updates, check out lindysports.com with original content, including features, columns, and predictions. lindysports.com also features photo galleries, fantasy sports news, and up-to-the-minute items to keep you abreast of events from the ever-changing realm of sports. Lindy's, America's leading sports authority.
Saturdays are all about college football. Your tailgate matters too. Make it great with U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish. Catch up on all the great recipes by visiting our website. Check out our videos and learn about how U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish makes every Saturday exceptional, no matter the outcome of the biggest games. As always, it's fresh from our ponds to your plate. Remember, like we say every week, for the tailgate tent or the pregame party, U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish is always the winning catch. Find out more, visit uscatfish.com.
At Academy Sports and Outdoors, we carry all the gear you need from the top brands, all at prices you'll love. And now shopping at Academy is more convenient than ever. We offer free assembly on in-store purchases of most bikes and grills. Plus, free and easy curbside pickup on Academy.com orders. Want to save even more every day? Open and use an Academy Sports and Outdoors credit card to get 5% off future purchases when you're approved. Save time and money at Academy Sports and Outdoors. Remember, fun can't lose.
The Lindy's Football Report.
Here's Michael Butler with the Academy Sports Player of the Week.
The Vanderbilt Commodores are 5-0 for the first time since 2008. Much of the attention this year has been on quarterback Diego Pavia. He turned heads last year, leading Vandy to a bowl game and beating top-ranked Alabama at the time along the way. They'll get another chance at the Crimson Tide this weekend in the first ranked versus ranked matchup in the series since 1937. Last week, Pavia continued his impressive play in a 55-35 win over Utah State, making it back-to-back 50-plus point games. That's not happened since 1915 at Vanderbilt. Pavia had 5 passing touchdowns and another on the ground, accounting for 400 total yards. He already has 15 total touchdowns this year and ranks atop the board of SEC quarterbacks in pass efficiency rating. Diego Pavia, this week's Academy Sports and Outdoors Award Player of the Week.
It's time for Lynn Scarborough with Lindy's and LindySports.com. Well, Lynn, we had another coach given the heave-ho this week, Sam Pittman out at Arkansas. You've got a little information on that.
Yeah, this is it was a hard situation that he was in to begin with. They really have not recovered fully in the last few years from the problems that they had that left him kind of in a lesser position as far as recruiting goes and having the people go. I think the straw in the camel's back was the magnitude of the Notre Dame loss. A lot of folks gave them a chance to actually be competitive and win the game, and I think that was probably the end of the line. I think a lot of folks are thinking that maybe that Coach Petrino is going to be the next guy to be there. I doubt that's going to be the case. I think that's an interim tag on him, and that it's going to become a matter of finding somebody that, you know, that really wants the job and got the financial resources to be able to bring in somebody like that. That's what I expect to happen. I don't expect Arkansas to win a whole lot more games this year. I think the guys will do their best. But that's the situation there.
All right. Well, there are 20 teams remaining undefeated so far in FBS, five of those in the SEC. We got three playing this week, Vandy, Texas, and Texas A&M. Which one of those, and throw in Oklahoma and Ole Miss, do you think has a chance maybe to go undefeated?
I think Ole Miss out of that bunch has the best shot. If you look at Ole Miss's schedule, they have to play at Georgia. They have to play at Oklahoma. I've seen Oklahoma in person. I think if Ole Miss could beat Georgia, and obviously they're a beatable team, it is at Georgia, but Alabama beat them at Georgia. I think Ole Miss got a shot at going undefeated. I think that's more so than the other teams. Vanderbilt, I don't wish anything bad toward them, but it's possible they won't win but one more ball game. I mean, they got Alabama, LSU, Missouri, Texas, all four in a row. All those teams are ranked. They played Tennessee, they're ranked. It's possible that they got a rough road to hoe. A&M, they still play LSU, Missouri, and Texas. I don't think they're going to win all of those. Oklahoma, I think, has got a really tough road. They still got to play Texas, Ole Miss, Tennessee, Missouri, LSU, Alabama. I mean, that's every one of those teams that I just named are ranked. And Oklahoma still has to play all of those guys. Another team that I like their schedule is Tennessee. Now, Tennessee's already not won the game against Georgia because of missing that short kick. But I like Ole Miss's schedule for among the undefeated teams. I like Tennessee the rest of their season. And I think Alabama is a team that may sneak back in there.
All right. Well, we got a long way to go. We're roughly halfway through. Let's pick some games for the weekend. Not a lot to choose from, but we got a few good ones. We'll start down in the Florida State-Miami game down in Tallahassee.
Yeah, I like Miami to win that game. The only thing I got Florida State having a favorite on is the home team advantage, which I do use that. But I think Miami's a better team. Florida State had the chance to really make a statement and put themselves in a position there before that game and lost to Virginia. So I like Miami to win the game.
In the SEC, Texas A&M home against Mississippi State.
Yeah, I like Texas A&M in that game. Of course, I was out there and saw them defeat Auburn this past week. They're a tough, physical team. Mississippi State is the surprise team of the league right now, I believe. They played Tennessee a good ball game, but I don't see A&M losing that game in College Station.
All right, how about the one in the swamp? Texas visits Florida.
I don't give Florida much chance in this game. I think Texas will win the game. Florida is sort of playing for Coach Napier's success there. And if you look at Florida's schedule the rest of the way, it's going to be a tough road for those guys. I think Texas wins that ball game.
How about Vanderbilt and Alabama?
I would not want to be in Vanderbilt's position right now. Alabama was number one last year when they played Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt beat them, and not only beat them, but put up 40 points on them. Going into Alabama with Alabama having payback on their mind and the chance to get right back in the SEC position, I think is a strong thing for Bama. I think they win the game.
And your upset special.
I'm going to go all the way to the West Coast. I have lost the last 2 weeks after starting 3-0. I'm going with California. I've covered a game there with California, the Golden Bears. They're playing Duke, who had a big win this past week against Syracuse. I will take California, a 3-point underdog at home, to beat the Blue Devils.
That's this week's Lindy's Football Report with Graham Dunn, Michael Butler, and Lynn Scarborough. Brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors and U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish.